Turn then to James and to the first chapter. We read earlier from verse 19 to verse 27, and then we took a verse out of chapter 2, verse 12. What I'd like us to do now is turn to chapter 1, and let's read verses 23 to 25. So James 1, 23 to 25. Now, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And let's add verse 12 from chapter 2. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Let's ask God then, shall we, to help us as we turn. So just a reminder then, we have the major theme here, if you like, the major key in which we interpret this book. And I'm sure most of us know what it is. It's the idea that what we believe is worked out by what we do. Or the other way, what we do should be a reflection of what we believe. Now, when you come to these verses, verse 19 and onwards in chapter 1, what James does for the first time is he tackles directly the reason why we so often struggle to express our beliefs in our practice. We believe in God, we believe in Christ, we believe his word, we believe all the promises that we have, but so often we find it difficult to express what we believe in terms of what we do. So what I want you to do as we start looking at these verses is take a look at verse 19 and verse 22, and you'll see the first reason that James gives to tell us why we struggle to express our beliefs in our actions. And you see it, the first reason is to do with listening. What I think is quite interesting is James doesn't talk about our memories. He says the first problem we have is a problem with listening. So if you've ever wondered why it is that when you're under pressure and when things are going and proving difficult for you, you forget to put your beliefs into practice, the first reason is to do with listening. And James identifies two things to do with listening. The first is in verse 19, and then the second is in verse 22. The first point he makes about listening in verse 19 is that some of us find it very difficult in life to listen. We've got our opinions, we've made up our mind, we've got a lot to say, but we find it very difficult to listen. And many of you here I know very well. Can I say to you very gently, some of you have a problem with listening. With listening to what other people have to say. Listening to the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience of what other people can offer to you. So some people, we've closed our ears and we no longer listen. We are so full of what we think and our own opinions that we are no longer able to hear what someone else says and what someone else thinks. So James is telling us that the first reason why, the moment anything goes wrong and we forget to live out our beliefs, is because we've stopped listening. We have stopped listening to others and what they have to offer us in terms of their wisdom and their knowledge. And then if you look at verse 22, James says the second problem with listening is specifically related to the Word of God. It's to do with sermons. So verse 19 is nothing to do with sermons. Verse 22 is to do with sermons. And we come along and we sit in the pews and a sermon is preached and we listen to it, but then we don't put it into practice. So can you see? Listening is really important to James. He wants you to be, in life, a person who listens. Listens to others. So you're slow to speak. Slow to say what you think. And quicker to hear what other people think. And then he wants you to be people who, when you listen to a sermon, you seek to put it into practice. There's the first reason then why we have this separation between belief and practice so often. But as we come to our text, can you see what the second reason he offers to us as a reason why we find this so difficult? And the second reason is to do with looking. So I'm reminded, do you remember those old public information adverts you used to see on TV? I remember them when I was growing up. And you'd have the admonition, stop, look and listen, when you were being advised on how to cross the road. Well, James is a bit like that. He wants you to listen and he wants you to look. And where you look is very important, according to James. So the theme of looking is in verses 23 down to verse 25. And if you look, says James, in the right place, if you continue to look in the right place, then you'll be able to put into practice what you believe. So let's take a look then at what James talks about. Verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, what I want to do, and it's a bit unusual for a sermon, I want to take you through these two verses, word by word, starting with the end of verse 23. So let's take the phrase, he is like a man. So if any one of us finds it difficult to put what we believe into practice, we are like a man. Now, the Greek word there can mean man or woman. So James doesn't have his sights on men, and he's telling us men that this is our problem. James is thinking of men and women. And then what he says is this. He's like a man observing his natural face. The word natural, you know the word. You even know it in Greek. It's the word Genesis. He is like a man observing his natural appearance. If you like, he is like a man or a woman who is looking at what nature has given you. That's what he says. So let's take that image in verse 23. Imagine a person, imagine yourself, and you're looking in a mirror. Now, don't forget, for James, it wouldn't have been glass because they didn't have glass, apparently, at the time. So you're looking at a mirror that is made out of polished metal. And you're looking at this mirror, and what you see is what nature has given you. You see what you're like from the point of view of your natural self. And the idea that you've got in verse 23 is you're looking in the mirror, you're seeing what you are by nature, and it's not pleasant viewing. If you like, the idea of the mirror there is of your faults, your flaws, your defects, from the point of view of your natural condition, warts and all, you're looking at it. You're seeing it. You're seeing yourself from the point of view of what nature has given you. Now, I don't know about you, and we mustn't stretch this point too far, but I don't like looking in the mirror. I find looking in the mirror something that is really quite off-putting. And that's the idea in verse 23. You look in the mirror, you see what you like, and rather than the Greek word in verse 24 being you forget, the idea is you push it out of your mind. You don't want to think about it because you've looked, you've seen, this is what I'm like naturally. These are my characteristics. This is my face. These are my defects. And you don't like it. And so what you do is you don't want to think about it. So you try to push it out of your mind. That's the idea that James has here in these two verses. So let's go through verse 24 then. He observes himself. So the word there is like to scrutinize yourself. You're looking perhaps at your face and you're looking for the flaws and the wrinkles and the blemishes. And you're looking for the spots, and you see it all there, and it's not very clear because it's polished metal, but you're having a good look, and you're seeing everything you don't like. That's what James has there in verse 24. So you go away. Now, that doesn't simply mean you've spent an hour looking at yourself in the mirror, and you've got something else to do. It means you walk away. You just think, gosh, that's just such a sight. And you walk away. And then as you go on in verse 24, he says, you straightway put it out of your mind, the kind of man that you are. You don't like to think about that image of yourself as you are naturally. Now, James isn't interested in whether you're pretty. He's not interested in whether you're handsome. That's not the idea here. He's using mirror to help us think about how we get preoccupied with what we are like. When we look at ourselves. So just change the idea slightly now. And James is talking about how we spend our time looking at ourselves, not literally in a mirror, but thinking about ourselves. And we think about our natural state, what we are like, and we don't like it. So we push it out of our minds, and we don't like to see, we don't like to look, we don't like the thought of who we are. Now that's here in verses 23 and 24. So I'm going to use the idea of a mirror. And let's take what James is saying. Think about life. And think about this mirror in verses 23 and 24. As a way in which you look at yourself and see what you're like on the natural level. As you come into the world. You see what nature has given you, whether that's your face or your character, whatever it is, think about yourself in terms of what nature has doled out to you. And the idea in these two verses is when we do that, we don't like what we see, whether it's our face, again, whether it's our personality, we don't like what we see in terms of all its defects. And then in verse 25, you get a contrast. So I want us to think of it like this. Verse 25 is also a reference to a mirror. But this time what James is doing, he's saying, imagine God holds up a mirror to you. And God invites you to look at his mirror. Look into the mirror that God holds up. And when God holds up a mirror to you, what does he want you to see? So can you see the contrast? There's an ordinary mirror, a human mirror, if you like. And when we look into that, we see what nature has given us. And we don't like to think about it. Then, says James, God holds up a mirror for you. And here's the important point. And this is where so many preachers go wrong. God doesn't hold up a mirror to you and say, look at yourself and how awful you are. God holds up a mirror and he wants you to see what he has given you. Now, do you see the way James works? You look in a natural mirror and you see what nature has given you. Then, by contrast, you come along and you look into God's mirror. And God wants you to see what he has given you. Now, in verse 25, the mirror, God's mirror, if you like, is referred to as the perfect law of liberty. And James doesn't explicitly use the word mirror, but it's the same idea. So God holds up a mirror for you to look into, and that mirror has the name, the perfect law of liberty. And so when you come on a Sunday, and when a preacher stands in a pulpit, what the preacher should be doing is holding out for you all to see God's mirror. And he's inviting you, the preacher invites you, to look into God's mirror and to say to you, look at what God has given you. Look into this mirror and see how God sees you. That's what James is encouraging us to do. So if you're following me, come to verse 25, and you should now have a question. And the question is this: if I look into God's mirror and God says, look what I've given you, see in this mirror what I have given you, what will you see? And the word in verse 25 is echoed in verse 12 of chapter 2. It's not translated very well in my version. There's a much better way of translating it, but have you identified the word? God says, well, look at how I see you. Look into this mirror and see what I see. What's the word that sums it up? And going by my translation, it's the word liberty, but a much better translation of the Greek is freedom. God wants you to look into his mirror, and he wants you to see that you are free. God sees you as free, and he wants you to see yourself as free, as a freed slave, if you like. Now, the image of slavery is in verse 25. The image of slavery is in verse 12 of chapter 2. And some suggest that the natural face, the Genesis face, if you like, in verse 23, can be the face of a slave, the slave's face that is marked, like you'd mark perhaps today. If you were a shepherd, you'd mark your sheep. Some people suggest that the face is marked as the slave's face. Now, I'm not sure about that, because the word natural in verse 23, the word Genesis means the face that nature has given you. And I don't think nature gives us slaves. But nonetheless, the idea is there, that in verse 23 and 24, you've got the picture of a slave looking into a mirror. And they see slavery shining back at them. That's what we are by nature, slaves. And then in verse 25, what James says is, look into God's mirror, and what you see reflecting back at you, when you look into God's mirror, is you see someone who is free. That's the great point that James is making. So with that in mind, come back to verse 25. He who looks into God's mirror, which is the perfect law of liberty, and the word look there is very unusual. And it's got a specific meaning. And if we were doing a Bible study, I could perhaps guide you so that you could find where else this particular word for looking is used in the New Testament. Now, I'll do my best. I don't just want to simply tell you. I want to see if you can get there yourself. So this word is used on a particular day in the life of Christ when his disciples come along and they stoop down in order to look. Now, can you identify when the disciples came along and they had to stoop really low in order to look? And of course, I'm sure you can all work it out. It's the day of the resurrection, when the disciples come to the tomb, and Luke tells us they have to stoop to see into the tomb. Now, James is using that very word here in verse 25. It's a word that links looking to the resurrection of Jesus. It's not simply sight or reading a book or looking at a picture. It's a word that means you have to bend down low in order to see. And really, the simple point James is making is the looking that's linked to the resurrection, a looking that's linked to hope and new life and new beginnings, to look with new eyes, to see for the first time. That's the idea in James 1:25. So here's the way we are developing the theme then. You can either spend your time looking at yourself, and all you'll see is a slave, as you look at what nature has given you, as you look at what you are naturally. You can spend your time examining your faults, looking at your defects, measuring how much you've aged. You can look at yourself from the point of view of what things are like naturally. And if you spend your time and all your thoughts are on yourself, as you are, on yourself, by yourself, then you'll be somebody who will forget to put what you believe into practice. But, says James, if you're someone who looks into God's mirror and sees yourself as God sees you, and sees yourself in terms of what God has done for you, and you see yourself as free, then, says James, come back to verse 25, you have to continue in it. So keep looking into God's mirror. Every day, look into the mirror that shows you how God sees you. So if you struggle with sin, then you look into God's mirror and you'll see somebody whom God has forgiven. If you struggle with your failures and your unrighteousnesses, you look into God's mirror and you see someone who's righteous in the sight of God. If you look at yourself and you see a sinner, then you look into God's mirror and you see someone who's righteous. This is what James is saying to you. If you keep looking into God's mirror and see yourself in that light, verse 25, then you won't be a forgetful hearer. You'll be a doer of the word. And you will be blessed in whatever he does. Now, I hope you see this distinction, because most of us spend most of our time thinking about ourselves, and I don't like the word, but let's use it, from a natural point of view. We talk about what we like. We talk about what we don't like. We talk about how we are. We talk about ourselves from the point of view of how we've always been and what we always think and what we always do. Now, James says, you carry on like that and you'll never put your beliefs into practice. What you need to spend your time doing is looking into God's mirror and seeing a reflection in God's mirror of what God has done for you and of how God sees you. Continue into it. Look with new eyes. Bend over and see yourself in God's mirror. And just as an aside here, if we can learn that we are free men and women, we'll do the word of God. The more we see ourselves as free, the more we'll put into practice what we believe. If you struggle to put what you believe into practice, it may well be because you see yourself as a slave, not as someone who's free. So, there's the mirror of God. Look into it, says James. Stare into it. Keep that mirror in front of your face. Keep looking at how God sees you. Stay there. Don't move from there. Remind yourself of the reflection of God's work in your life, and you'll be someone who will put the word into action. Let's, for the sake of completeness, then come down to verse 12. Verse 12 in chapter 2. And what James does here is he continues the idea of a mirror. And what he says is this, and I find this thought absolutely overwhelming. The day of judgment, think of that like a mirror. God will hold up a mirror, and everyone will see themselves reflected in that mirror. The unbeliever will see his life reflected back at him. His thoughts, actions, words, it'll be there in that mirror, and people will see themselves as they are in their sins, and they will be judged. And then what James says is this: as a Christian, on that day of judgment, a mirror will be held up for you to look into. And when you look into that mirror on the day of judgment, what will you see? And you'll see someone whom God has set free. That's what you'll see. You won't have a mirror reflecting back onto you all your sins and failures. You'll have a mirror, and the image you'll see in that mirror is of you set free by God. That's what you'll see. And so what James says in verse 12 is this. Can you see it there? So speak and so do, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. That great day, that reflection that you'll see, is of a you set free by God. Now, says James, go and live your life like somebody who on that day of judgment will see that you've been set free. Speak like it, says James. Live like it, says James. And if you live like that, then you'll be putting your beliefs into actions. I feel like I should ask a question now, and it's a question about this day of judgment. You here, our families at home, what kind of mirror will they be looking into? And many of us have family, loved ones, who when they look into that mirror on the day of judgment, it will hold up to them what they're like by nature. They'll see their nature as sinners. What kind of mirror will be held up in front of you? Will it be a mirror that shows what you're really like? How God can expose your sins and your failures? Or will you and I, on that last day, look into a mirror, and what we will see shining back at us is that image, that reflection of freedom. We have been freed by God. That's how God has always seen us. And on the day of judgment, that mirror will show us how God has seen us. Now live like that, says James, and live as free. Let's pray, shall we?